Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So if you were anywhere near Twitter, or let's face it, the internet of any kind, last week, you're probably aware that the South by Southwest Tech Conference just wrapped up in Austin, Texas. South by Southwest began as a music showcase, but in recent years, the tech side has grown exponentially in size and influence. Twitter picked up major buzz there a couple of years ago before it really broke out, as did Foursquare. But of course, most of you couldn't make it down to Austin. Don't worry, we'll try to bring you up to speed. Turn up the heat in your apartment, fix yourself a taco. We'll try to boil South by Southwest Interactive down to about 14 minutes with Matt Buchanan, editor at Forward, FWD, really, BuzzFeed's new technology channel. Matt, welcome to WNYC and welcome back from Austin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Forward, why did you name BuzzFeed's new technology channel after an old Jewish newspaper?
Didn't know that was the case, but it's sort of a statement about where technology is supposed to take us. If you think about it, it's about progress and going into new places. So we kind of wanted to encapsulate that, but kind of the thing at BuzzFeed is it's sort of all about sharing, and that's what the core mission is in terms of what media is. And so Forward, FWD is sort of like forwarding an email or passing something on. So we're trying to kind of play with both of those things a bit.
So from what I can gather, much of the conversation taking place in Austin was around the question of curation versus aggregation. Now, this could probably take 2 hours, but can you briefly describe what the debate is over what it means to curate on the internet as opposed to aggregate, and why so many people care?
That's sort of the point of contention. What's the difference between curation and aggregation? Which aggregation, is when you're taking a bunch of stories or a bunch of pieces from different sites or newspapers and kind of repackaging that or bringing a bunch of those things together. The people who say they curate, the argument is that they're taking the signal from all this noise, all this stuff on the internet. Like when you think about the, millions of pages of content made every day. So curators see their role as picking out the interesting things within all of this other stuff and kind of surfacing it and bringing it forward. You know, much like an art curator, there's a lot of artists and there's a lot of art being made, and their role is to kind of bring out the best. And hopefully there's a theme to it. And, I think the thing for me is, and we were talking about this, or one of the panels we're talking about this is aggregation theft, was that the real value add, the real question fundamentally is, is what you're doing transformative and making, by the act of curating or aggregating, are you making something new, and what kind of value are you adding to your readers or to...
So, for example, one of the pieces of news that I read about from there was a proposal by Maria Popova, who runs a website called Brain Picker. She proposed what she's calling the curator's code. Mm-hmm. And it will use one symbol to express that a piece of content came directly from another source, and a different symbol to indicate a hat tip or a nod to a source that inspired a post. Is this a step in the right direction?
What they're trying to do is sort of codify the value of curation, which... the tricky thing about that is, to me, is what value, when you're placing that kind of value on curation, what's sort of the subsequent value of the original source material when you're focusing that much on sort of discoverability? And I mean, and you can argue, right?
Is it about dollars and cents? So if I want to put together links on my site to 5 good articles about the presidential race.
Some might say you're curating.
And curating would be a no-no?
Well, no, it's not that it's no. They kind of want to codify the value of curating, like, and say that this is a valuable thing, and you should have, these guidelines as a way to kind of make that a little more concrete. Like, this is a service. This is the way it should be.
But who loses by that curating? In other words, if I'm placing links to Ben Smith's article from BuzzFeed from yesterday and somebody's article from The Atlantic, and they click through and actually get to those articles.
Oh, nobody's losing. It's just sort of an interesting argument to place a specific value and a fair amount of value on the act of sharing on the internet.
Fair amount of monetary value?
Some people do derive some. I know Maria takes donations for brain pickings, which is her thing, and she's actually like very good at picking out interesting links. And another thing with aggregation, right? Like, or at least the problem. I guess you could look at curation and aggregation as sort of the good and bad sides of sort of sharing things on the internet. Aggregation, you know, the Huffington Post always has often come under criticism for when they aggregate, when they take a source story and rewrite it or repackage it. You know, the source material doesn't always get a lot of links. So there's a site called Tech Meme and Media Gazer, and it's literally like a list of links about the sort of the hottest topics in media and technology. And one of the examples given at the panel I was on was somebody had a post taken and aggregated by the Huffington Post, which is huge, you know, tens of millions of page views, tens of millions of readers, versus Media Gazer, which is a much smaller site. I think you can probably measure them either in like the low millions or the hundreds of thousands. And Media Gazer drove 700 clicks to their article, Huffington Post under 100, right? Mm-hmm. And that's sort of like one way to sort of distinguish good versus bad aggregation when, you know, how much
if the original source winds up getting the traffic, or if your summary of the original source winds up getting all the traffic. Yeah, I mean, the internet has been having the conversation over stealing material, crediting sources, cross-posting since the moment there was an internet. Mm-hmm. So this is the latest manifestation of that. Do you at BuzzFeed have a policy about how you curate or aggregate?
So we have a couple things on forward. So on the right side, we have a bar of 10 links, and you know, I'll write a headline for it, but it links directly out to where the source material is. There's no, you know, they don't click on a post to go to our page. And then we also have a main feed, which kind of lets me describe a piece in longer detail, like the Wired cover story this month about the super secret NSA base in the middle of Utah. So I wrote a paragraph blurb about it, but then when you click on the headline, it takes you directly to the Wired piece, because that's sort of the way I'm most comfortable with it.
Matt Buchanan from from BuzzFeed, just back from South by Southwest. Let's go through a couple of the other things that you saw down there. Another big story, New York caught from the festival because it was on the cover of the tabloids back here, was the Homeless Hotspots. A marketing firm gave a number of homeless men in Austin 4G wireless hotspot routers and had them walk around the city. And people who wanted fast internet access were encouraged to give donations to these homeless men in exchange for using their bandwidth. How did this go over at the conference? Because back here, you know, there was a big debate over whether this was cynical exploitation.
Well, I mean, that was the same debate that happened there, because how do you not have a debate about that kind of thing? I don't think anybody was blithely sort of using these things and not thinking about the issues, which is sort of what the marketing firm behind it was going for, right? They wanted people to have a conversation about this thing. And I think the interesting thing is, at least one of the things I noticed around the convention center is, you know, obviously there's a homeless population in Austin and you have all these people downtown, but for the most part, they were kind of rendered invisible. Even though there was a homeless shelter not terribly far from the convention center, I passed it on my last day there and there was like a huge line going around it. But if you're hanging around the convention center, going to parties and stuff, you have these homeless people, but they're invisible, and this sort of made them visible. So there is aspect to it.
Yeah, so the activist performance art aspect of this, it goes beyond just providing internet access at various points on the street. It's to make invisible homeless people visible.
Right, and we talked to one of them, and you know, they were volunteers. They volunteered to do this, and you know, the guy we talked to said it was straight up. You know, they asked us to do it. I'm doing it, and you know, the thing, the practical thing that we weren't super happy with is, so they're taking donations via PayPal, but there's no clear line between, or no clear way that for the people participating in the program, the homeless people participating in the program, they don't know when they're going to get their money from it. And, you know, it's, if I use a hotspot, I could donate what I wished. There was no set price. So maybe I donated a little, maybe I donated a lot, but there was no kind of clear line to getting that money to them, which is, to me, one of the bigger problems. But, I mean, there's also, you know, if you do want to take the cynical angle, right? Like you're literally appropriating the bodies of homeless individuals and kind of redeploying them as internet infrastructure,
right?
Which is, you know, as a guy I know, Tim Carmody, said, it's sort of out of a dark sci-fi novel.
Well, I would expect to see entrepreneurs doing it in New York any day now that it's broken. but we will see if that actually comes about. One other theme I saw emerging, and we just have 2 minutes left, South by Southwest itself may be old news. I mentioned that Twitter and Foursquare kind of got their start there or their breakouts there. But this year's biggest startup, Pinterest, got its buzz months before South by Southwest. It found its loyal audience, mostly with women in the middle of the country. So do tech companies no longer need the tech elite that gather at places like South by Southwest every year?
Well, I mean, South by Southwest Interactive sort of started as a much smaller thing. You know, my friend Matt Honan posted this picture on Gizmodo of from 10 years ago, and you see all these people that sort of became influential, kind of technorati elite people. I don't think it's a question so much of whether, you know, South by is still necessary. This year, you know, and people are looking at it in different ways. For instance, this year there wasn't a killer app. There wasn't a clear service that broke out there that I can tell you that you're going to be using in 6 months the way Twitter or Foursquare happened. You know, like a lot of people were saying, and I wrote a piece about it, the killer app this year was the Jay-Z show that Twitter put on. And it was sort of this moment of kind of mainstream, big brand sort of infiltration of South By. And you had brands everywhere. It was kind of crazy how much, I mean, going back to the homeless thing for a second, it was interesting how much free food there was from sponsors and from, you know, everywhere from like Bing to media companies or whatever. And then you have this sort of
so more traditional trade show in that respect.
And there's an optimism there, I would say that you don't see as say the consumer electronics show.
Because there's still something grassrootsy about it.
Yeah, people they want to change the world.
They want to change the world, even with the jacked display, Doritos erecting a 56-foot-tall vending machine in downtown Austin. I gather a piece of that was on display at South by Southwest.
A little bit, yeah.
And we leave that as the last word with Matt Buchanan, editor at Forward. That's BuzzFeed's new technology channel. He's just back from South by Southwest. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.